We got to have an outline. If you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to do that. We're going to talk about time this evening. And by the way, the time changes next Sunday. So set your clocks back. Looking forward to that. Surprising how much the Bible has to say about time. One of the most popular and well-known verses in the Bible that deals with time comes from the wise man Solomon. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in the opening verses, and this is what it says. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning at verse 1. You'll recognize this once I start reading. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, time to kill, a time to heal, time to break down and a time to build up, time to weep, a time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to dance, time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, time to gain, time to lose, time to keep, a time to throw away, time to tear, a time to sow, time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. Almost make a lesson, probably should one of these days, just of each of those phrases and give you a little explanation or an illustration of each situation that Solomon has outlined in that text. We're going to say a little bit about time in our lesson this evening. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 verse 5 that you, meaning us, who are kept by the power of God. In other words, God has us surrounded. He has us kept. He has a hold on us. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, when the end comes. Jesus in the Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 3, says the time's at hand. I look at the word time in the concordance. I know you can't see that from where you are. But from starting here, each column gives there's every verse in the Bible where the word time is mentioned. So you just look at all of those sections, and there's about 60 lines. So 180 on that page, 120 on this page, about 300 times in the Bible you find the word time. Must be some significance or importance about that topic or that subject of time. The psalm is not in our book, but it gives the lesson on the importance of time and our attitude towards it. The title of the song is Too Late. I just want to read the verses or the stanzas for you. First two are sad because it's the idea of someone that hasn't made wise use of their time, specifically in giving their life to God. Here's how the hymn writer records it. The song is titled Too Late. It says, too late 'twill be for you to cry when mercy's day has passed you by, when solemn night of dark despair shall come upon you halting there. Second stanza. Too late when death has barred the door, your wailings can be heard no more. Rejected there, thy soul will be shut out through all eternity. I'm glad he added two more stanzas to give us hope. He said, will you not heed the voice today, inviting you Christ to obey, and be prepared to enter there, a pure and spotless robe to wear? Last stanza. No longer there in sin abide, this all-important step decide, Come out where Christ can touch your soul, and at this moment be made whole. Then the chorus, too late. Too late, poor trembling soul. Oh, will this be your fate? Too late to be made whole. Too late, too late, too late. So time. Mention your notes about three different things we're just going to look at this evening. Number one, it's difficult to define time. Or even sometimes even try to describe it. But we can experience time. Webster's dictionary definition. What is, try to think of it. Someone asked you to define the word time. What would you say? You know, Webster defined it. The period between two events. That's one definition. Something exists, happens, or acts. It's a measured or a measurable interval. It's a duration or a continuance. The point at which something has happened, is happening, or will happen. Time. What a quote from Sandburg. Time is like sand running through our fingers. When it runs out, it's gone. Keep thinking about events that have taken place recently, and some like maybe a weekend vacation, looking forward to it. And a couple of weeks ago, we went on that vacation. Here it is 2 weeks after. What happened to the time? It's gone. It's just, I thought it would never get here, that event, and now it's past. The time is measured in different ways. The astronomer measures time by light years. The geologist by vast cycles. The historian by epochs or centuries. If you're salaried, you measure time by the month. You're paid once a month. If you're a laborer, you probably measure time by the week. Is it Friday yet? The child usually measures time by his next birthday. Most of us, the common measure of time begins when we wake up in the morning and we determine what we're going to do today. We have tidbits of time. The Lord measures time in terms of responsible living. It's difficult to define. What is time? But it's easy to experience. You ever said, and I know you have, you said to someone, oh, remember the time when, and then you typically say, when we did this or that, or we went there, or we said this. We had such a good time, but hardly ever do we say, you remember 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday, 1997? We don't remember a clock time, but we remember the time when. Yeah, we shared this or that. A memorable event. Ben Franklin said, lest thou love life, then do not squander time. It's the stuff that life is made of. The time that we have. We want to spend our time together wisely. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul said, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We want to be faithful with the time that's given to us. Faithful stewards, because we'll have to answer how we used our time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things that have been done in his body according to what he has done. So the question we ask today with our time, can't define it, but we can experience it. And one day we're going to have to give an account of it. How did we use our time? When we get to Judgment Day, and our name is called and we stand before the judge, I'm not going to ask, what time is it? It's going to ask, what did you do with your time? How did you use your time? Second, think about time. It can't be recalled or repeated, but it can be redeemed. And that's the Bible verse. That know, time passed in our memory. Oh, I remember that. Pictures or videos. But we can't go back. We just recall them. Can't undo some of the things we've done in the past. Ephesians 5 verse 15 gives us the text. See then, knowing what we know about time, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as foolish ones, but as wise, redeeming the time. Oh, there's our lesson. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So when the Bible speaks about our use of time, it's asking us to make sure that we redeem the time correctly or wisely and put ourselves in good service to God. Remember, that's what's going to be the question, or will be a question similar to it in judgment. Not what time is it, but how did you use your time? How did we present ourselves before God in service and evangelism or benevolence or worship? How did we live our time? It means make the most of every opportunity. Make the best use of your time. You know, that's been admonished to all of us all our lives. It's either by our parents, by one another, by our employer. Make use of your time. Use it wisely. Yeah. It's done by accomplishing the will of the Lord. And one way to do it in the text of Ephesians 5 verses 15 through 17, walk circumspectly. Circumspectly, you know, that circumference, that circle. If we're going to walk circumspectly, we walk with you with looking around us so we can see the pitfalls of life. Oh, I see that. Don't go that way. It means we're looking for the safe pathway. We're looking in a way to avoid danger. And we already do that in life. If we're out at night going across the parking lot, you know, our car's on the other side. Oh, let's make sure we're walking safely. We walk circumspectly when we cross the street. We're going both ways. We're already doing that in life. So now do it in Christianity. Look at the way that we walk spiritually and present ourselves before God. Oh, no, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. How may I help you? What do you need? Let me get that for you. Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Look around, see the things that we need to avoid and the things that we need to do. Redeem the time by walking that way. Quote, give you a quote from Horace Mann. He said, lost. It was yesterday. Somewhere between sunrise and sunset. Two golden hours. Each set with 60 diamond minutes. No reward is offered. They're gone forever. Remember what you did yesterday? Can't go back and do it again. We have today. We have now. I remember a story. I don't know if it even goes with this lesson, but I'd like to hear it again, so I'll tell it. The story is titled, The 220 to Boston. There was a man that arrived early to catch the train. And he sees a machine over there in the lobby of the train depot, and it says, you know, for a quarter or so, I'll tell you your weight and your future. You've seen some of those things. Put the slot in, stand on it. So the man gets his quarter out, puts it in the slot, and he stands on the scales. Card comes out and says, your name is Joe, you weigh 180 pounds, and you're taking the 220 to Boston. How did that machine know that? So he steps off. Waits a few moments, steps back on. Puts another quarter in the slot. And sure enough, comes back up, and it says, your name is Joe, you weigh 180 pounds, you're taking the 220 to Boston. Steps off. So now he goes over the side and kind of disguises himself the best way he can while he's there. Comes back to the machine. Steps on the scales, puts his quarter in the slot. and the machine and the card comes out and it says your name is still Joe. You still weigh 180 pounds, but you just missed the 220 to Boston. Now, somehow the way we live our life, and we get distracted by certain things, and we're not making the best use of our time at the moment. Some of us, we're just busy stepping on the scales, putting our quarter in the slot, wondering what's going to happen next. The last point we make in the lesson this evening, time can't be stopped. But one day it will be terminated. One day. And where you've probably said this too, and I'm putting a note, we say, you know, it's later now than it ever has been. Say it again. It's later now than it ever has been. Yep. Time marches on. It's later now than it ever has been. You just keep going because time just keeps moving. It doesn't stop. Marches on. Only God can stop time. And there was a story in our Bible class lesson this morning where Joshua and Israel and the Gibeonites had banded together to fight a five-king alliance. And during the battle, Joshua prays to the Lord, says, you know, stop the sun and the moon. And God does while they win the battle. God stops time, but not us. It just keeps going. But time will be terminated for us when our life ends. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, and I put this in your notes, the living know that they shall die. Time is gone. And then the wise man said in verse 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, whatever thy hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. Because in the grave where you're going, there is no knowledge, no wisdom, no device in that grave. So what we do, we have to do now while we live. So if there's that letter you need to write, we need to do it while we're alive. If there's that good word that we need to say or speak, we need to do it now. Psalm 89, verse 48 says, what is he that lives that shall not see death? Yeah, because one day, time will end for us. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Psalm 90 verse 10 speaks about the days of our years, 70. But if by reason of strength they be 80, oh, it's labor and sorrow, and we soon fly away. Yeah, it ends. James 4 verse 14 says, come now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into this city or that one and trade and get gain. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. So then ultimately time will be terminated when Jesus comes again. So the Old Testament, Amos the prophet says to Israel, in Amos 4 verse 12, put that in your notes, no I didn't. Amos 4 verse 12, therefore this will I do unto thee, O Israel, God says. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. That's the lesson on time. Prepare to meet thy God while it's day. One last song, I just want to read the words. Because it closes out the lesson on the right use of time. The title of the song is, Tomorrow May Be Too Late. So the song begins, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's danger in death and delaying. Accept God's saving grace. In other words, receive it. His life on the cross he's given. Oh, while yet you may. Plea pleading, oh, make no delay. Tomorrow may be too late. Second stanza. The judgment day, brother, is coming. Prepare ye for that day. His mercy he offers. Obey while yet you may. He'll save you from sin and bring sweet peace within. But tomorrow may be too late. The last answer. A home up in heaven is waiting. Oh, make the start today. Repent, confess, and be baptized. There is no other way. Give Jesus your life and thus walk in His way. Tomorrow may be too late. Too late. So that's the lesson this evening. And just as the words of the song said, you're here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. You have never been baptized for remission of sins. You have that opportunity. Everything's ready. We have a pool of water. We have a change of garments. You simply need to involve yourself in that process of being born again by hearing the Word of God, by believing that message. Repentance, as Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized. From that point on, then begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. We sing a song of encouragement, of invitation. If you're subject to it and need to respond while we're gathered here to rejoice with you in that decision, just simply come and let your request be known. So let's stand together and we'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for